This is the KVNF Regional Newscast. Good morning, I'm Patricia Naft. It's Wednesday, January 22nd, 2014. Gay and lesbian couples who are legally married in another state may soon be able to file a joint tax return in Colorado. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Democratic Senator Pat Stedman of Denver is the main sponsor of Senate Bill 19. He also was behind last year's measure allowing civil unions. Stedman says the bill simply aligns state and federal tax filing laws.
I think everybody agrees that taxes aren't terribly popular, but unfair taxes are even less popular. And I think this is trying to make taxes a little more fair.
But Republicans largely object to the measure. Senator Ted Harvey of Highlands Ranch notes that the bill would remove any reference to husband, wife, or spouse from the state income tax filing laws.
We have an 8-page bill that does nothing but strike the word marriage out of state statute. A complete and utter attack on the institution of marriage in the state of Colorado. And in this body.
But despite GOP opposition, the measure passed on a voice vote. It still needs a final vote in the Senate before moving to the House. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
A reporter for the Craig Daily Press says she was barred from a meeting about the greater sage grouse in Moffat County yesterday, even though that meeting was billed as public. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, Aaron Fenner originally heard the meeting was with U.S. Secretary of the Interior, Sally Jewell, was going to be closed, but she says that all three Moffat County commissioners said yesterday morning that, in fact, the meeting would be open. Fenner was allegedly escorted from the meeting by a man who didn't identify himself, but who Fenner believes was working for Sally Jewell's office. The BLM is getting ready to prepare an environmental impact statement for coal leasing in the Book Cliff area north of Fruta. As the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports, the proposed coal leases would cover around 14,000 acres with about 78 million tons of coal reserves underground. The draft version of the impact statement originally came out in 2009, but the agency decided to take more public comments on the proposal and do further reviews on how the coal mining would impact the environment. The proposal was submitted by CAM Colorado, which is owned by parent company Rhino Energy. Arch Coal also showed some interest in the coal reserves early on. According to the Daily Sentinel, the environmental group Wild Earth Guardians is opposed to the expansion. The group has reportedly called on the Department of the Interior to push for clean energy instead of more fossil fuel development. The BLM is taking comments on the proposed coal leases through its Grand Junction field office until February 18th. Last week, residents from the small towns of Montrose County's West End gathered for a screening of Uranium Drive-In, a documentary that tells the story of the ill-fated Pinyon Ridge Uranium Mill and a tight-knit community desperate for jobs and some hint of a brighter economy. KVNF's Travis Bubinick was on hand for the screening at the New Hope Pentecostal Church in Naderita, and he brings us this report.
As you come to Naderita and see it, you'll understand that there's really a different economic reality here than there are in, you know, places like Telluride and Paonia and Ouray.
That's Jennifer Thurston. She's an environmental activist who lives in Norwood, just down the road from Naderita on the San Miguel-Montrose County line.
I was profiled my work opposing the Pinyon Ridge Uranium Mill in the film Uranium Drive-In. This is Naderita. This is Main Street.
Driving into Naderita for the screening, the second time the film's been shown here, Thurston says she's pretty much the villain of the story, the outsider environmentalist opposing a uranium mill in a region founded on uranium mining that hasn't had a steady source of jobs since that industry died out decades ago.
Do you really feel that way? Do you feel like people see you as a villain?
There is definitely a feeling that environmentalists are often interfering in local issues.
And that's pretty much the story here. A struggling community hears that someone's planning to build what would be the country's first conventional uranium mill in over 30 years, right in their backyard, promising jobs, money, and most importantly, a means to stay in a place where family and roots have fought hard against shuttered buildings and a stagnant economy. Here's the backstory. Energy Fuels, the company behind the mill, gets the go-ahead from the state of Colorado in 2011. But then an environmental group called Sheep Mountain Alliance, based in Telluride, that's Jennifer Thurston's group, tries to stop the mill. They appeal the state's approval, and the mill gets tied up in the courts. Locals in Nucla and Naderita are outraged. They don't understand why Telluride cares what happens here. These towns are hurting, maybe even dying. People are moving away. People need work. And like one character from the film says,
the people complaining the most are driving to the protest in their Mercedes.
There's been mills down here for over 100 years, and they never bothered anybody in Telluride before.
Betty Greger is seeing the film here for the second time. She's actually in the film. Her husband and dad worked in uranium mills in Telluride and nearby Uravan, the abandoned mining town that's now a Superfund site. The Environmental Protection Agency worked to clean up the contamination there for 15 years, from 1986 to 2001.
And consequently, I mean, my dad and both of my brothers and my husband all died from lung problems. But it's not affecting the people in Telluride, and it's not going to.
Greger says her dad and husband smoked. It wasn't just the mills that killed them. But regardless, her point is basically that of the old folk song. It's nobody's business but their own. The us-versus-them debate over the mill might seem irrelevant by now. The Enviros lost the permit battle over the mill, but the company decided not to move forward with it anyway. The uranium market sunk after the Fukushima nuclear disaster in Japan, and Energy Fuels figured the mill they already had in Blanding, Utah would bring in enough money by itself. But it's not that simple. People here are still bitter, and the way they see it, the legal battle hurt the mill's prospects as much as the low price of uranium did. That frustration is still very real, and at the same time, Greger tells me people are still holding out hope that the market will bounce back and the uranium jobs will come here.
Good thing about it that I think if it ever does, the uranium does come back up and it is feasible, I don't think they can stop them again.
It's, yeah, kind of a pipe dream right now. Yeah, hopefully it will.
Brad McKinney and his dad Carl are seeing the film for the first time, but they know the story. They both live in Naderita, and like many others here, they see the mill as a last hope. Still, Brad says they know it's mostly just a dream.
Talking to some of the old uranium miners and stuff around, the reason that they can't afford to do it now is because price of uranium is the same as it is what it was in the 60s when they had to shut down because they couldn't afford it then. Only now electricity is more expensive, diesel, labor, everything's way more expensive now.
So that's where the film leaves off. Energy Fuels' license for the mill says they only have until 2018 to get it up and running, but everybody knows that's not likely. So what now?
If uranium's not going to happen here, they need something.
Suzanne Barraza directed the film. She premiered it in Telluride, and she says the people there seemed to wake up to the fact that their neighbors were hurting.
And I feel like they felt compassion for what was going on here, and maybe before they had kind of disregarded it and hadn't thought much about how tough it really was to live here.
The two communities have started brainstorming alternative ideas for jumpstarting the West End economy, ones that don't rely on uranium. There's been talk about setting up a local call center to book vacations for Telluride tourists, and some have proposed bringing a music festival to town or opening up old mines for tours. Environmental documentaries are a dime a dozen, but the reason this story matters is that it's not just the story of the West End. It's the story of rural communities across the country, the constant challenge of balancing the immediate needs for growth and development with the longer-term responsibilities of protecting the land and building an economy that won't go the way of so many boom-and-bust towns before. Uranium Drive-In doesn't ask its audience to pick a side, to love or hate the uranium industry. But Barraza says there is a message.
What people here want their future to be really depends on what they want their future to be and not what someone is trying to impose upon them.
And according to at least one local, it's not like all hope is lost. A man named Fritz from Nucla was seeing the film for the first time, and he told me that, frankly, this community's future isn't as bleak as it may seem.
They've only showed the downtrodden homes and not any homes that are being taken care of. Yeah, things aren't as bad as the film made them look.
Nobody's business but mine.
For KVNF News, I'm Travis Bubinick.
How my baby treat me, nobody's business but my own.
Stay tuned for the Wednesday Morning Music Mix with Jeff Reynolds. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.